The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. Welcome to the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul, an oddity in our church calendar, because it's the only solemnity on our church calendar that's shared between two people. And just in case you didn't already know, a solemnity is the highest order of feast day that we have in the church. Every Sunday is a solemnity, which is why right after the homily we're going to stand and profess our faith and petitions, just like a Sunday. Christ our Lord has certain solemnities throughout the course of the year, so does the Blessed Mother, as well as just a few saints. Saint Joseph has a solemnity. You know, just last week we celebrated the solemnity of John the Baptist, but Saints Peter and Paul share a day together, split like a duplex. And you gotta ask why. I mean, Saint Peter, the first ever pope. Saint Paul wrote half the New Testament. What does a guy need to do to get his own feast day around here? Inquiring minds want to know. So, three reasons why. First of all, we've been doing it this way for a long, long time. We've been celebrating the feast of Saints Peter and Paul together on the 29th of June since the year 258. That's a long time. Second reason is because both Peter and Paul consecrated the soil of the city of Rome by the shedding of their blood. Saint Paul decapitated by the sword because as a Roman citizen he could not be crucified. And Saint Peter, as you know, crucified upside down because he thought that he was unworthy to die in the same manner as Jesus Christ. It's the second reason. But there's a third reason, and it's very, very subtle. And that is that both St. Peter and St. Paul are flawed heroes. Take a closer look at that here this morning. Once upon a time, I was talking to a Hollywood screenwriter. I was out in Los Angeles. Told me something fascinating. He said, if you want to write a great story and you want to create a credible villain, remember, your villain needs to think that he's a hero. That'll make him credible. And if you want to make a credible hero, give him a fatal flaw. Don't glamorize your hero or he's not believable. And you notice all throughout the Bible, all the Bible's heroes, I mean, with the exception of the Blessed Mother, right? All the Bible's heroes, they're all flawed characters. Characters like King David or Moses, or Gideon, or Samson, or Jonah. Go back into the ancient pagan world by contrast, and you'll find the ancient religions with these superheroes, these demigods, while the Bible takes its heroes and puts their flaws on full display. Why? Because we have flaws, and we need to know that there's hope. And so you look at St. Peter, you know, not the kind of guy you would initially peg as being one of the great religious leaders in all of history. a working man. He essentially owned his own fishing business, made his living by the sweat of his brow, the kind of guy you would more likely expect to find drinking a beer at the local pub at the end of the day than you would expect to find in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And yet this is the one Jesus chooses, St. Peter. Impulsive, impetuous, quick to speak, slow to think. St. Peter, much in the showroom, little in the storeroom. St. Peter, who, as you know, betrayed Jesus at the hour he needed him most, not once, but three times. You know, we even have a stained glass window to this here in our church with a rooster. Talking to an elderly nun once. Somebody asked her on Judgment Day, if you could say only one thing to St. Peter, what would it be? She said, I'd look St. Peter square in the eye and I'd say, cock-a-doodle-doo, Peter. Cock-a-doodle-doo. And this is the one Jesus calls. And St. Paul, a scholar of the law, a rabbi's rabbi, studied under the great Rabbi Gamaliel, burning with zeal for God and his covenant and his traditions received from Moses, such that when he dragged Christians to their death in an attempt to exterminate the early church, he was absolutely convinced that he was doing God's will. And that's the one God chooses, with a message that if God can make saints out of the likes of Peter and Paul, he can make a saint out of you as well. God does not call you because you're already a saint. He makes you a saint because of his call. Which is why the most important question that you will ever answer in your life is the question that Jesus poses to his apostles here in the Gospel of Matthew. Who do you say that I am? What is he, one religious leader among many? Someone on the par with Buddha or Muhammad? Is he one truth or is he the truth? Is he one way or is he the way? Who do you say that Jesus is? Your answer to that question is more important than your flaws. It's even more important than your sins. Because if you answer that question properly, you will never let yourself stray from Jesus Christ. So a feast day today, Saints Peter and Paul, with the message that God can make saints even out of flawed heroes. If it was possible for Peter and Paul, you know it's possible for you and for me as well. Let's ask for their prayers to help us today. Saints Peter and Paul, pray for us.